Good evening.
Blog
this is Fatina
Radio.
Good evening. This is Fatina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fondle Woman. I thank you all who's been patient with me, who have been waiting for me. For the past 3 weeks, I've been having technical difficulties. And I'm hoping this is the late weekend that we get through this and we won't have this anymore. I never start my show off without prayer, and definitely prayer is definitely needed today. But we're just going to bind it in the name of Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the honor and the praise for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do in our lives. We just give you the glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah, Lord, right now, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are more than conquerors. Today, as we're talking about what to do, we don't know what to do. And it's so interesting that we have this topic today, because I'm faced with that at this very moment. But, you know, I've always been that one to just get up, dust myself off, and keep it moving. And this is no different. And since I've started this show, I just know that it's destined for greatness, because the enemy has done nothing but try to push me back on it, but I'm still going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep moving. So what do I do in this case when I don't know what to do? I pray and I hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I know he will make it all right for me. Today, as I talk about what to do when you don't know what to do, you know, we have issues in our lives where some people say it's weak when we talk to other people about certain subjects. Some maybe feel that it's normal to feel a certain kind of way, and we don't, and it makes us not want to talk, but yet we spend our time feeling alone, or we just feel better that we are alone, or we're in darkness, or we indulge in certain habits that may take away the pain or numb the pain to deal with it, whatever issues we go on in silence. And what am I referring to? I'm talking about mental illness and mental disorder. You know, studies show that one out of five people actually struggle with mental disorders. Mental disorders come in various form and fashion: depression, anxiety, suicide, PTSD, eating disorder. It comes in many, many facets. And as I move forward tonight, I'm so excited about my guest that has agreed to join me tonight. Her name is Rose Bash, and she's a subject matter expert in this area, you know, from her personal experience as well as her professional as well. And as we move forward today, I want to just reach out to you. If you're interested in taking part of the show tonight, I highly encourage you to do that. Or if you know of anyone who is going through or suffering, please encourage them to call in at 914-338-1552. Again, that number is 914-338-1552. And I understand that some people do not want to talk on the radio, and I get that. So I do have an email address. It's C as in Charlie, OAF, woman, at gmail.com. Once again, that email address is C as in Charlie, OAF, woman, at gmail.com, and that stands for Chronicles of a Fondle Woman at gmail.com. This is actually a part one of a part three series this evening, and I'm very excited on getting Ms. Rose on the line. But I just wanted to kind of break the ice that these are something, this topic is very near and dear to my heart, as all the topics that we talk about. But when this particular topic was given to me, who knew that I was going to face it again? Like even tonight, when something was going on with my phone, I actually had to contact my phone carrier to get them to troubleshoot and get myself back on the line. So as I move forward with this, without further ado, I am going to bring on my guest tonight, and her name is Ms. Rose Bash. One second. Ms. Rose, how are you this evening?
Hi.
And welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman.
Hi, I'm glad to be a part of your show tonight.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me tonight, and thank you for being patient. I mean, the enemy is very busy. He really, really is. It is so funny that this topic is what to do when you don't know what to do. Just like
right
when I was getting ready to log in, that's when I was like, are you serious? Is this going on right now, right before it's time for me to get on this show? And the gentleman was very gracious on the phone. I was like, sir, something's going on my phone. I'm supposed to be on the phone. I'm supposed to be on the radio. I'm not trying to, you know, rush you or anything, but is it possible that you could troubleshoot this and, you know, I could get back on the air? But, you know, I'm just not going to stop, and I'm not sure if you're aware, but my very first, when I aired my first program, I didn't have a dashboard, so I pretty much had to do it like a podcast without my dashboard, but I didn't let it stop me. I just kept on moving, and I would have done it like that, you know, if necessary. I don't know what would have done tonight, but, you know, I would have done something, you know, even if I had to get online and make it a live chat. We would have done something tonight. So I've just learned how to, if I stumble, fine, get up, dust myself off, and keep it moving. But what to do when you don't know what to do? But before I move forward, I want you to briefly introduce yourself. Just give us a little blurb about yourself.
Yes, my name is Rose Bass, and I'm a master's in business administration, but I work with counselors, and I mean, it's a tough job, and I see a lot of stuff, and they teach me a lot, they show me a lot. It's just something that's horrific, you know, dealing with, especially when you don't know how to handle it. But what my main focus and thankfulness is that people are seeking help. Those who want it, they are seeking, not even just for themselves, but for children. You'd be surprised, children that have the problem with the mental health.
I think that's awesome, the fact that there are people that really want to get help. And I think that's very important, that people who are thinking about it or shying away from it because they may be embarrassed about it, it's good to know that there are people out there that have identified it and are actually seeking it and trying to do something about it. So I think that's very good that to people to hear that.
Yes,
I think that's very, very good.
And people are embarrassed about it, you know, but some people, you know, nowadays they're like getting more loose and they really want the help. They don't care, you know, but they just want to get the help they can get and, you know, be done with it. But I'm just happy that you're talking about this subject because mental health, I mean, you think it's not mental health and it's mental health. Some people are in denial and then, you know, they are the ones who are really hard to deal with. But the ones who really, really need that help, they reach out.
You know, it's interesting because I was still doing some research, and I was just reading because I'm so fascinated by it, because some of the things that I thought that were just mental health was just like depression, suicide, PTSD, but OCD is a mental disorder. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm,
I did not know overcompulsive disorder was a mental disorder. I did not know that.
You know,
eating disorder, that's mental disorder. I was like, you know what? Oh, my goodness. I did not realize that. But it makes sense. And when I went in to look at the definition of what a disorder was, it indicated that it's a condition that affects your thinking, your feeling, your mood, and behavior. And I was like, wow. That is very interesting. And I just know for me, I deal with depression. And the worst, I mean, sometimes, you know, and it's interesting because I don't deal with it on a daily basis because I found out it could be chronic, you know, it could be chronic, like long term, or it could just be occasional. Mine is occasional. Every now and then, it comes and rears its little ugly head. And I've as I gotten older and as I've deal with it more, I've learned how to deal with it or how to, when I feel it coming on, then I know. For me, I got to put on the armor of God. I got to start digging in, and then I have to start exercising or reminding myself of my truth, of who I am and whose I am. And I'm a child of the Most High God, to keep myself not to fall in there, you know, because if you're not careful, you know, he'll have you thinking one thing when it's not, you know, his job, and I'm referring to the enemy, is to kill, seek, and destroy. And that's what he will do at any means necessary, because that's where he has the free reign in the mind. And yeah. I just know my personal struggle, you know, it's hard. It is hard sometimes. And, you know, when people look at you, they just think that you have it so well put together, and they really just don't know. They really don't know.
You're right about that. Depression is, it's really a very tough subject. It's in many families, and it's very hard, you know, because the enemy, he comes to rob, kill, and destroy us. And the first thing he really attacks is the mind. He wants to make us depressed all the time. But if we can just focus on what Jesus done for us, you know, it'll make it better, because he comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And he comes to let us have joy. And enemy, he brings all kinds of things, you know, family, you know, disrupting families. There's so much going on in families, you know. Even with, when I say dysfunctional families, I'm talking about a lot of things causes those dysfunctions that brings on depression. You know, if you have a father or even a mother who's an alcoholic, it traumatizes kids, especially if there's a lot of fighting at home and stuff like that. It brings on a lot of sadness and different feelings. And then if you look at another family that got it all together, and then you wonder, well, why my family? That's a lot for a kid. And then instead of them getting help, they grow up to be older adults and they still have this problem, and it festers on and it gets worse and worse. And then it's like a ladder. You're trying to go up, but you keep coming down because you don't have that help. You don't have that help. And it's really bad. That depressive state is really bad. And it's sad. That's all I can say. It's very sad. And
well,
some people have medication.
Yeah, you know, because depression is the most common mental health problem affecting the U.S. today. Mm-hmm. It is the most common one, like 17 million people yearly is the statistics I got. And suicide is actually the number 3.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because suicide affects, it affects so many people, but I noticed that a lot of people affected by suicide, for the most part, are between the ages of 15 and 24. But you do have people older than that. When I think about Robin Williams, played on Mark and Mindy, I was so shocked to hear that he committed suicide. That chef that used to travel the world, I can't remember his name, Bordeaux or something like that. I was so shocked that he committed suicide. But, and we just talked about him, the pastor. There's a pastor that recently committed suicide. Let me tell you something. It comes in every color, shape, form, gender, or whatever. It exists. It exists, and my thing is, at what point did someone just not see it? Did they, you know, did they just not talk about someone, or was they giving hints and people just wasn't picking up, you know? Or people always have a tendency of, oh, you're going to be all right, or I remember telling my cousin, when people are trying to talk to you, listen, you never know. They may be trying to reach out to you, and you don't know that's what they're trying to do.
The reason why I believe that people don't want to believe that it's depression or even think, because they don't know the symptoms. I mean, a mere headache.
Yeah.
You having back pain, back and neck pain, those headaches, the fatigue, you know, the angry outbursts. It's like a lot of children, they have those angry outbursts. Even sometimes the grown-ups have these irritability and angry outbursts. They don't believe those are symptoms of depression, but they are. And sometimes they just want to sweep it under the rug. And when you bring it up to them, they don't want it to acknowledge it. See, denial is really a really, really tough thing. When you can't come to even grips it, well, maybe I do have it. Well, maybe I need to get myself checked, you know, because, I mean, they say heart attacks and stuff like that is a solid killer. It's because these little symptoms like that, they bring it on. They trigger
they,
spots.
They make it internal.
Right, and it gets out of control when you just don't get it from the beginning. But a lot of times they start when you're young, or if you never had problems, like I said, when you come up in a family that has everything, and then they meet someone later on in life, and I mean, they're in total hell. And if they don't know how to get out of it, it's just hard. You know, that's why it's so much domestic violence going on. You know, that's part that causes mental illness too, of depression
exactly.
and stuff like that. You know,
exactly.
Some people just can't handle things. You know, even myself, I've been through so much. I didn't even think I could get over some of the things. But I just thank God, and I thank God he was always there with me. And I didn't even know he was with me. And I'm really just believing and starting now, God is with me, and he is the one who's been keeping me. But I've learned not to push things under the rug or say, no, this not. I question it now, and I look into it. A lot of people don't have that push. They don't have the resources. They don't have the things, you know, that's needed to help them get along or someone to push them further along to get the treatment that they need, you know.
Exactly.
Yes, you know, because all counselors, they don't give medication. Some people need the medication. Some people even need to be committed, you know, in the hospital because it's that bad. But it's just a sad situation.
Exactly. And I definitely want to take this time to encourage, if you know someone who may be going through some type of disorder, whether it's depression, whether it's suicide or thinking about suicide, PTSD, I think that's correct, post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know, especially our veterans, I'm getting that in just a second, depression. You know, if you know someone who may be going through or know of someone, you know, I highly encourage you, you know, if you're listening to the show, you know, give us a call. I would love to hear your story. You know, we would love to hear your feedback on this. And you can call in at 914-338-1552. That number again is 914-338-1552. I'm on the line with Miss Rose Bash, and we're just talking about, you know, what to do when you don't know what to do. This is in regards to mental disorder, mental illness. You know, I would love to hear your feedback, and if you don't want to call in, you're more than welcome to email me at C as in cat, O-A-F, woman, at gmail.com. Once again, that's C as in cat, O-A-F, woman, at gmail.com. And, you know, going back to our conversation, Rose, you know, let me just kind of change gears just a little bit. PTSD. My father was a Vietnam vet. And I used to have teachers that are Vietnam vets. And all the common denominators, every time I talk to a Vietnam vet, it's the same thing. You know, when I think about the Vietnam War, it was, to me, it was an unnecessary war. But to me, those men being sent over there for warding, and it's just my personal opinion, you know, they shouldn't have been over there. But then when they came back, they didn't have any resources available for them, you know, and they all suffered. They all ended up, you know, doing some type of substance or finding some way to cope with what they had to do. It was horrific, you know, and they're getting that help now, but they should have been had that. They whether it's the Vietnam War, whether it was the Gulf War, but going off, that is a traumatic experience. that was a traumatic experience to have to deal with that and then deal with the effects afterwards. You know, their families having to deal with the effects of that afterwards. You know, they're such, they're victims, and then they're being, the victims are being, you know, the,
right.
the, yeah, they're being victimized by the victim, you know. So it's just, it's interesting because I found that, is that one is near and dear to me more than anything. I did a paper working on my master's. I did a paper in regards to the effect of, you know, PTSD when it comes to the vets, you know, and it's just very interesting to me. It's like everybody has the same story. It affected them the same way. And, you know, even now when I see homeless vets, that saddens me because some of them suffer from mental illness. And you have some people who are homeless who choose to be homeless. They don't have, they choose to be homeless because even if you try to take them out of that state, they're comfortable in that state. And I found that to be very interesting. Because you have to deal with their psyche. You have to deal with their psyche. And it's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Why would you think that they would be comfortable in that state? Or when I say that state, be comfortable being homeless or whatever?
I used to work at shelters and stuff. And you have some people... you want to, you know, you would try to, you know, rehabilitate them, but their mental state was different because they were dealing with mental illnesses.
Right.
They were stuck. And some people, like you had some homeless vets, they were stuck because they didn't know how to live out of someone giving them instructions. They didn't know how to live on their own by themselves to say, you know how we live and we know how to survive because we know what to do to just go through life. All they knew was the military, and the military always told them what to do, how to do it, how long you're going to do it, whatever. When they got out of the military, they needed that structured life. They didn't have that structure anymore. That makes sense?
It was taken kind of from what, you know, being taught and, you know, learning about post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is a constant flashback. And, you know, trying to get them off the street and to be confined in a building or something, they feel too confined. They don't want to because it's the constant flashback, I guess, what they saw with the guns and the kill. It was so much that they saw back in those days. So, they just want to be in the open. They want to make sure everything is okay. But it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard on them. And not only just ones and those vets, you know, other people also. They just, if you've just been through so much that's terrifying, it is hard to keep your mental status. Because I had an uncle, he went through something so horrible. We were scared of him. You know, he was, so, but who's ringing the phone? Who's that on the phone? The phone is not ringing. He went through something horrible. And he was a vet also. But when he came to our house, he just made us so scared, you know, the way he acted and stuff like that.
When they used to hear firecrackers, I remember my professor said, he heard a firecracker. He immediately started, he was playing volleyball. He immediately got on his knees to all fours and started digging a hole. Because that's what they would do, dig a hole. And I was like, wow, this is something very serious. This is something very serious.
It is. I remember as a child, you know, I went through some things myself, and I was very had a post-traumatic. I was so scared. I knew my all the footsteps coming in the house, and I would run under the bed because I was so scared. Yes, but it wasn't until I got older, you know, then I came into church that I was able to really deal with it. But back then, I was a nervous wreck, bite my nails. I never had friends. I was too scared. I was, you know, it was just horrible. But no one sought any help for me. So as I got older, I just kept going through problems after problems after problems. And that's like recurrent flashbacks of things happening, and your thoughts and stuff just go all haywire. So it's really a tough subject. You know, there was a time I would cry when we talked about it, but now I know I've been set free from a lot of that stuff because now I could talk about it, you know. But I thank God. But for some of the vets, I just look at them, you know, even where I live, I just look at them. Some of them want help and some don't.
You know, some people, you know, it's interesting that some people are comfortable living in darkness. They're comfortable with being stuck where they are. And it's not for me to judge that. I just can't do it no more. I can't, Marie. I'm like you. I'm at a point now in my life where I got to move forward. I can't be held in bondage. And I just want to encourage whoever is listening on the line that you don't have to be in bondage anymore. There are people out there such as Ms. Rose, like myself, and several other people out there who have been there. I definitely share with Rose's testimony because I've gone through several traumatic experiences in my life. And I wonder if it's only through God's grace or whoever your higher power is. Mine is God. It will always be God. You know, I know it was nothing but His grace and His blood that brought me through. And I knew if it wasn't for Him and a praying grandmother, I would not be here today. I will not be here today because I remember I was in my bed. I was going through divorce. I remember I had a conversation. It wasn't a good one because my divorce wasn't a good divorce. It was a lot. It wasn't good. And I remember after having a conversation, I was laying in my bed. I started cracking up. I mean, literally, I could not stop laughing. I was just cracking up. And I realized I was heading towards a nervous breakdown. And I said, Lord, God, I had to call on Him. I literally felt myself cracking up. And I said, Lord, I need you. I called on Him. I did not care who heard me, whatever. I said, I need you to help me. I do not want to lose my psyche. I don't want to lose my mind. I need you to help me right now, at this very moment, right now. I'm about to crack up. I cannot lose my mind in this situation. You have something better for me. This is not it for me. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I will never forget that. Never forget it. And I remember the peace. When I cried out to Him, I remember the peace that He gave me with that situation. Now, that's not including all the other stuff I've gone through. But that's just one particular situation that just really, I'm just grateful for who He is. I mean, I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for who He is. And, you know, I'm so in awe of who He is because when I think about, as a result, I've share this with you that I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. With all that I had to deal with that, plus dealing with other factors on top of that, I'm sitting here in awe, like, God, apparently you got something for me to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still here and I'm still standing. And trust me, when people try to put me out or put me down, you know,
But there are times when I doubted myself. I became whoever they want me to be because I didn't know who I was. I had no self-identity. I just didn't know. And literally, I would just crawl up in a shell, and I would be depressed. I just kind of like withdraw from myself because people don't think what they want to think, but I cared. I cared so much about what they thought. And that included family, friends, or whomever. It just got the best of me. And I mean, I was depressed. Suicide was constantly on my mind. I was a walking time bomb. And I really didn't care if I lived or I died.
I understand that because I've been there too, you know, but it's like you said, it is the grace of God, because we really need God in our life to help us. And we do have to cry out to us. And see, that's when you know you have the problem. When you can cry out to God, when you had enough, what to do when you don't know what to do, when you at that limit, you have to cry out. You got to cry out for help. Yeah. And it starts with crying out to God. And he's the one who's going to lead you to find some help. Because if you don't, you will end up, you know, somewhere you don't want to be, you know. I think about often I pray, and I always pray to God to help the children who are being molested and abused, and they can't do anything. I have that prayer all the time. It's like it makes me cringe on the inside when I hear about these people who killing their children, they sexually abusing them, and then they're covered up by killing them. They didn't even have a chance, you know, and it bothers me. That's a top priority in my life. And, you know, and even when they grow up, if they're not killed, they have these problems. And the problems is so hard that other people can't hardly deal with them. And then when they get to someone who wants to deal with them or help them, it's hard for them to really open up. And
because they don't trust you.
We need shows like this. We need people who to come forward and let them know you're not alone. You're not in this world by yourself, and we need to join together and help one another. Because I tell you, being by yourself, it's a silent killer, and the depression is no good. It's no good.
Yes, because it gives you those thoughts like suicide, or you know, it's not worth living. You know, the pain gets so bad that I don't want to be here. I don't want to deal with the pain no more. But even if you don't feel like you want to talk to God, there are crisis hotline out there right now. I know there is a national suicide prevention lifeline out there, and you can contact 800-273-TALK, which is 800-273-8255. And for veterans, if you can contact that same number, 800-273-8255, just press 1. But you can, there are people, there are programs out there, there are lifelines out there. And if you don't want to call, if you know someone who's hearing impaired, they can contact 800-799-4889. Once again, for those who are hearing impaired, you know, you can have them contact 800-799-4889. And if you don't want to pick up the phone and you want to email, I have something for you too. You can you can email suicidepreventionlifeline.org. That's suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And then for those who are my texters, I got something for you as well. You can text hello at 741-741. Once again, for my texters, you can text hello at 741-741. And what we're talking about mental disorder, mental illness, because it's prevalent and it's real. And it's really, really real. And what we're saying tonight is you don't have to be silent. You don't have to feel like you're alone. There are people out there that are going through what you're going through. And there are people out there, you know, like myself and Ms. Rose, who's out on this line, because the show is Chronicles of a Fallen Woman, but the tagline is victim to victor. You don't have to remain a victim. You just don't. But we've
right.
all been there. We've all been to that victim state. But the goal is to get to the victor state. And it is a process. Is the process easy? No. It's not. It's not. But it's necessary for your growth.
And I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say one thing also. When you call in, all your information is confidential. A lot of times
yes.
people don't want to call in because somebody's going to speak. It is
Thank
confidential.
You for that. Yes.
Yes. You
it
will not have to worry about anyone spreading your business or anything around. It is strictly confidential.
Yes. Thank you for that, and you are absolutely right. It is very confidential. So I don't want you to feel hindered. There is people out there. There are call, contact. I don't care who it is, what time it is. But the good thing about the crisis helpline, it is 24/7. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please reach out, reach out. There are people out there. This is only part one of part three. We're going to be hitting this again next week and the next 2 weekends. It's our next 2 weeks, as a matter of fact, because this is a very prevalent, it's very, very extremely important subject, and it's very big. It's a very big subject, and it's too much to capture in 60 minutes. It just really is. It really is. So those who are interested in joining in, or those who are listening, because some people just like to listen. I know this. I appreciate. Let me just take the time to say this. I really appreciate my loyal listeners. I really appreciate you more than anything, because I hear about you. I know about you. If you're not texting me, you're reaching out to me in some kind of way, and I really, really appreciate it. I see the numbers. After I do my report, after the show is over, and I really appreciate it very much. When I was given this vision, I was given this vision many years ago, and I knew that it was just, God knew it was time, and I'm just going to move forward regardless of the challenges, regardless of what's going on. Those who know me know I'm not really one to let anything get the best of me. I'm going to keep it pushing. So I just want to thank you for very, very much for supporting me. I want to send a special shout out for one person in particular, and that is Miss Betty Davis. That is my stepmother. I love her. I know she's listening, but when I tell you, she is my number one supporter. She is my number one supporter, always there. And you know how you always text people, say, I don't know if she really listening. That chick be texting me, and she be telling me things. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she actually listening.
<That's>
she actually listening. I know she really listening. But, you know, those things mean a lot to me. And those are the things that are, you know, that makes me feel like, okay, Lord, this is not in vain. I really, really appreciate it, and I'm just going to do your will. And I also thank the naysayers, because I have them too, you know, in this, because I know that this is the right thing I need to be doing, because it's not for me. It's for the people that he has designed for me to reach. And it's for all of us, because we all have a voice. If you would like to call in, you're still welcome to call in, because we have 15 more minutes to go. If you're more than welcome to call in at 914-338-1552. That number to call in is 914-338-1552. The subject, the title tonight is What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And this is really one of a three-part series tonight. We're talking about mental illness, and we're really talking about all the components, some of the components that, you know, that makes up mental illness or mental disorder. And we indicated that a disorder is a condition that affects your thinking, your feeling, your mood, and your behavior. you know, so behavior. And we're just talking to make you aware that there, you're not alone. There are people out there just like myself, just like Rose, just like you. Maybe you feel like you want to, you're not sure if there's someone out there or who cares or who you may feel like people don't want to listen, but we do. There's people out there that want to hear what you have to say. You're very valuable. You're very important, and we love you. We love you. Even when, I remember one time when I didn't love myself, and I was like a walking time bomb. I literally did not care if I lived or died. That's how I was walking around. I did not care. And then he came. Jesus came. He was like, enough of this. Enough of this. And it's okay to go seek help, okay? That's another point I want to make. It is okay to go seek help. Please don't let people tell you, oh, well, what you going to talk to a counselor for? It is okay because you need somebody to listen that is experienced in that area. And unfortunately, that person is not the person to do it. You need that guidance because you're looking to go into the light because you're ready to step out of the dark. Because you do have some people who are okay with you staying in the dark. And those are the people, those are called toxic people. And you just need to remove yourself from the toxic people. It's all right. It is okay to go talk to someone and seek professional help. That's what they're designed for. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting your freedoms and your freedom and independence. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing to be embarrassed about. And the truth of the matter is, if everybody just did that, we would be all better. Life would be a little more simpler. Life would be a little bit more simpler. I have a question for you, Rose. With all, I know that you said you see a lot of people that actually want to get help. I want you to talk more about those who are not as reluctant or apprehensive.
To me, and I really believe this wholeheartedly, is those who are apprehensive is the ones who are in denial. They believe everything is going. It's going to be okay. It's just this going on at the moment. No, it's not that. They're the ones who are really in denial. But once they have that, I hate to say it, it has to take something really, really major for them to really believe that they need the help. But most of the time, they like to push it under the rug and keep going through the motions. They don't want to admit that, you know, it's just like sin. If you know you committed a sin, Bible says, God says, confess your sin. Once you confess your sin, you're able to be set free, delivered, forgiven. But people who don't want to come into the confession, well, I do have it, so that they can get the help, they just stay stuck. That's my opinion. You know, that's how I feel. It's not a fact, but that's how I look at it. Okay, well, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of going through that, then you will come to grips with some help, you know, because I went through something in my life that was very devastating, and it took the Division of Youth and Family Services lady to tell me it's either your children or him after he committed what he did. And I'm not going to have somebody come and take my children from me. And, you know, you abusing our family, and my kids have to suffer. You beating up on me, putting guns in my face, strangling me, trying to kill me and stuff like that. But I'm supposed to. But when it came to them coming to take my children, enough is enough. My children have nothing to do with how somebody else treats me or makes me feel. So when I came to my senses, yes, I need some help. And when I got the help, I've been free ever since, and I thank God for that. I thank God I'm not in that situation. But it has to take something really drastic because it's not going to happen, you know. And then again, it could be fear. Sometimes people are fearful of things like coming out.
Uh-huh.
Like they, you know, they some people are scared to come out to say they're gay or whatever. They, you know, they have their coming out. They have a set time. And I have fear really bad. So I'm going to say those two things. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and when you're sick and tired of being fearful of someone or something, then you will seek help. It's going to take something real. No, you know, that's how I look at it.
And it's interesting because we talked about that on another show about what stopped people from moving forward with their, you know, their goals and their dreams. And it's fear. A lot of people fear, whether it's fear, what other people don't think, whatever. You know, it's very interesting. But this topic right here is just something, it's very near and dear. And I want to, first of all, just take this moment to say thank you, Rose, for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate you. And I appreciate you being open and honest because that's what this show is all about. People need to hear open and honest. They need to be able to personally identify. And I appreciate the fact that you could be open and honest with us this evening. I really, really do. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to come with us again one day. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want you to leave the line, but we are getting ready to wrap up in a few minutes. But before we do, I just want to also let people know that if you, you know, if you're at that point where you feel like you want to talk to someone, there are confidential, as Rose stressed, confidential lines out there, communications out there that you can contact. You know, one of those is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, but this is actually the Crisis Center Lifeline, and you can contact them at 800-273-TALK or 800-273-8255. For veterans, you can do the same number, 800-273-8255, you would press 1 to get to them. You may also reach out to them if you know someone who's hearing impaired. They can reach out to 800-799-4889. Once again, that number is 800-799-4889. Now, I can't leave out my texters. You can also text Hello, and you can text to 741-741. Once again, that's hello at 741-741. And lastly, those who do not want to reach out that way and text does not work for you, you can also email suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Once again, that's suicidepreventionlifeline.org. As I mentioned before, this is what to do when you don't know what to do. We're targeting mental illness, mental disorder. My guest this evening is Rose Bash. I thank her so much. I love her so much.
I said, thank you so much for having me. I love you too.
Oh, my goodness. This is not going to be our first time. I mean, I really love what you bring to the table. I mean, we go way back. There's a lot of history between us. And a lot of history between us. But what I love most about Rose is she keeps it real. Like, I deal with a lot of people, not a lot of people, but the people who are in my inner circle, I know that will keep it real with me and don't mind being honest with me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you know. And you put me on that place, and she's definitely one of those people. And we're vice versa. Our personalities are just like, we're both February babies.
But I want to thank you all for tuning in, because to next weekend, we will be going on board again on what to do when you don't know what to do. This will be part two. We'll be focusing on, again, the different disorders that comes with mental illness. We'll be in more in-depth, but my guest will be Ms. Monica Wright. And we're going to talk more of a personal level on some of the other issues, traumatic issues that will cause mental illness or mental disorders. And she's going to share her story and how she has overcame, and as a result, the organization she has started from this. It's interesting how we met as well, because we met in regards to a mutual friend in South Carolina. And I'm really excited about hearing her story, and I'm really excited about sharing it with you all, and just letting you know that you're not the only person that's out there. You know, one of the things I love about the tagline from victim to victor is that, yes, we were all once a victim, but you don't have to stay a victim. That's a choice.
No, it is a choice.
At some point, you could be a victim, but at some point, you have to make that decision if that's where you want to stay or if you want to graduate. Now, no one's telling you when your timetable is. You have to decide when that timetable is, because my timetable is a little longer than anybody else. But I made that, I had to make that decision. And I'm really at a point now in my life where I don't really care about what people think anymore. I have to continue to move forward for me. And if I can do anything, while I'm on this earth, it is to encourage other people to step out. Once you step out, the thing you will say is, why didn't I do this before? Why did I take so long? It's just stepping out. But there are barriers. And like I said before, and Rose can attest to this, it's not easy. It's not easy. But once you do it and you take that first step forward, you'll be surprised what's in store for you. Whether it's God, like I told you, God is mine, but whomever your higher power is, you find solace in that, and you build off of that. But if it takes a while to do that, you do that. I mean, you do whatever you feel that you have to do, but just know you don't have to stay stuck where you are. There are people out there that's going through the same thing you're going through. You're not alone, and you're not by yourself. If you're interested in reaching out to me with Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. I am on Facebook as Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And if you want to email me, whether it's a topic that you would like to discuss in the future, or just comments about the show tonight, you can comment on Blog Talk Radio, or you can actually email me at C as in Charlie, owoman@gmail.org. I was getting my reminder that C as in Charlie, OAFW woman. I'm sorry, C as in Charlie, OAF woman at gmail.org. And something wasn't right about it. So COAFwoman@gmail.org. My name is Fachina Kirkendall, and I want to thank Ms. Rose for coming on board. And I just want to let you know that you can have a productive week and that you can make a change. All it takes is making that decision and moving forward with your life. So, Rose, you have an awesome night. I look forward to the next time when we meet. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye.